In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the fourth month, it's the fourth day, and it's the year 2021, and it's Resurrection Day. Christ is truly risen.
Hallelujah.
And don't let the apostate Jews or anyone else lie to you. Christ is truly risen. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with him this morning. To give you a little hint about our lecture title, I'm going to quote from St. Paul's, about St. Paul in Acts 20:19. St. Paul said, "I am serving the Lord in all humilities and tears and temptations, which befell me by the conspiracies of the Jews." Conspiracies, I want you to get it into your mind, conspiracies. Now, conspiracies can be either good or bad. Everybody conspires. Good people conspire, evil people conspire. Catholics conspire for a Catholic kingdom. Satan conspires for an evil kingdom. Good conspiracies are based upon lawful means and good motives and good ends. Evil conspiracies use unlawful means for an evil end, okay? Now, one of the big conspiracies, the apostate Jews and Freemasons, who were the slaves of the Jews, right underneath them, both of those two, is the COVID-19 conspiracy. And this is what this lecture is going to deal with, because it's a very big deal, as everyone knows about in the whole world. And this is just one more big step in preparing the world for the reign and the mark of the Antichrist. That's what this whole COVID-19 thing is all about. You're going to learn about all of that in this lecture, about all the lies that are going about it, all the exaggerations, and the final end and purpose why we have this today out there. Now, first thing we're going to have to talk about, what is COVID-19? When was it? Where did it come from? Okay? And COVID-19 is a virus. And the official story is that it's a virus that came from nature, from animals or something. The true story is that it was man-made in a lab. It's a bioweapon. It was made in a lab. And I'm going to show you the history on it. It began, at least we have evidence that it was, the work on it was already undergoing in 1999 in a USA lab in the United States. That's where it began, in the United States. Then when the heat got too hot, because they realized that this bioweapon is very dangerous and that there's a lot of implications for it, they transferred the work over to Wuhan, China, a lab in Wuhan, in China, in 2015, and they completed the work on the COVID-19 virus. Now, we're going to go to the clips in 1 second, but you need to, that's the biggest lie they want you to believe in, is that it came from nature, and it didn't. It was man-made, it was in a lab, and it was purposely released. We'll get into that later. Now, we're going to just show you these clips, which will prove to you that the United States was the one who was developing this, and then they transferred the work over to China, who completed it. We're going to go to the clip now.
While we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who's famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. Then either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
Developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush? Let's keep that in mind.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going. But when the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do the stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No. You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say, China did it. China could say, the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is, both of them are almost telling the truth.
Where did the coronavirus come from? There is a new investigation into its origins. U.S. intelligence officials tell NBC News that they are examining whether the virus accidentally came from a Chinese lab.
Chinese officials pushing back against that claim on Thursday, tweeting that it might be the U.S. Army who brought the epidemic to Wuhan.
I was the first person in the world to look at an epidemic and study its characteristics and prove that it was due to biological warfare and was not a natural occurrence. So I published that 28 years ago. Early in this pandemic, I did not think the coronavirus was a natural occurrence from bats. I feel quite convinced that this was a laboratory designed organism. There have been hundreds and hundreds of leaks from high containment laboratories that do research on pathogenic coronaviruses and other potentially lethal organisms. I was particularly interested in a paper that came out in Nature Medicine by five scientists claiming that it was definitely a natural occurrence rather than a lab construct. But the arguments they used did not hold water. They didn't really make a lot of scientific sense. And yet all kinds of very important people started parroting what this paper said. And so that, of course, got me scratching my head saying, why are these people risking their reputation when it's obviously illogical, you know, doesn't hold water? Somebody must have made them publish this, and somebody must have told these other people that they have to say it's a great piece of science.
You were quoted as saying it was a meticulous job done professionally.
It could be done by somebody very expert in molecular biology, I think.
Et c'est pas naturel, c'est ce que vous voulez dire?
Non, ce n'est pas naturel, c'était un travail de professionnel, un travail de biologiste moléculaire. C'est un travail très minutieux. On peut dire d'horloger, on peut dire au niveau des séquences.
Mais dans quel but?
Dans quel but, ça, ce n'est pas clair. Moi, j'expose, si vous voulez. Mon travail, c'est d'exposer les faits. C'est tout.
We're now going to go a clip from Plandemic 2. They have two parts on it. This is Plandemic 2, a very great documentary made by Mickey Willis.
Do you believe that this virus was created in a laboratory?
I wouldn't use the word created. But you can't say naturally occurring if it was by way of the laboratory. So it's very clear this virus was manipulated, this family of viruses was manipulated and studied in a laboratory where the animals were taken into the laboratory, and this is what was released, whether deliberate or not. That cannot be naturally occurring. Somebody didn't go to a market, get a bat, the virus didn't jump directly to humans. That's not how it works. That's accelerated viral evolution. If it was a natural occurrence, it would take it up to 800 years to occur. This occurred from SARS-1 within a decade. That's not naturally occurring.
And do you have any ideas of where this occurred?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it occurred between the North Carolina laboratories, Fort Detrick, U.S. Army Research Institute of Infectious Disease, and the Wuhan laboratory.
$3.7 million flowed from the National Institutes of Health here in the U.S. to the Wuhan lab in China, the same lab where many people have said that this coronavirus infection first originated. We also now know that NIAID, the department associated with the National Institutes of Health, of which Dr. Anthony Fauci is in control, had already been conducting experiments with the Wuhan lab in the past in regard to coronavirus. If Dr. Anthony Fauci cannot be honest with the public about his connection to this lab, then Fauci has to go.
In 1999, I was working in Fort Detrick in USAMRID there, and my job was to teach Ebola how to infect human cells without killing them. Ebola couldn't infect human cells until we took it in the laboratories and talked to him.
Now we're going to go to another testimony from Tucker Carlson on Fox News, and he was interviewing a Chinese, Dr. Li Mengyan, a Chinese virologist who was working in the Wuhan lab in China, and she testifies, and she's now in the United States, she's not in China, because if she was in there, probably would kill her or lock her in jail at least, and she's telling everybody as a fact that she was working on the COVID-19 virus in the Wuhan lab in China. We'll go to the testimony.
Li Mengyan is the virologist who says she has evidence about where this pandemic actually came from. We're happy to have her on tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Tucker. Thank you.
Thank you. I know that you've published some of your research. You're planning on publishing more soon. Give us, for a non-scientific audience, a summary of why you believe this virus came from a lab in Wuhan, please.
Okay, briefly, from my first report, I can present the solid scientific evidence to our audience that this virus, COVID-19 SARS-CoV-2 virus, actually is not from nature. It is a man-made virus created in the lab based on the China military discover and owned the very unique bat coronavirus, which cannot affect people, but after the modification, become the very harmful virus at now. So I have evidence to show why they can do it, what they have done, how did they do it.
So what you're saying is much more sinister even than we've suggested on this show, than Tom Cotton, than almost anyone suggested. You're saying that the Chinese government manufactured this virus, if I'm hearing you correctly. That's what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Now, that's not 100%. It's true what she's saying, but there's more to it. In union with the United States, we're the ones who started it, and then we shipped it over to China and worked with them in China to get it done. So we're partners with China in developing this COVID-19. She doesn't know that. That's a high-level thing. Maybe she didn't know that it came from the United States and was transferred over to the Wuhan lab in China. All she knows is she was in that lab in China working on it. So she's testifying now. We now know that this virus came from a lab. It was man-made. It was manipulated in the lab. But what she probably doesn't know, maybe she knows now, though, with the evidence coming out, that it was actually started in the United States, and then the work was completed in Wuhan, China, and they were both interested in producing this thing. Now, the official story, as I said, is that the only origin of the pandemic is Wuhan, China, in January 2020, which is when the first declared case of coronavirus in China was January 2020, and that the whole world wants you to believe that this virus came from China, it began in China, All right? And it originated in China as far as it's, and then it spread through the world from China. Now, and a big part of this story, the lie, is the Chinese came out and said, oh, it probably came from a wet market, from an animal, for bats, or from some type of an animal, and they nailed it down to bats in this wet market, which happens to be about 10 miles away from the Wuhan lab. Now, if you follow this whole story, first people were coming out and saying, hey, guess what? They don't have no bats in the wet market that they were talking about. There's no bats. And they said it came from bats. So now that looked kind of bad for them. So I don't know. They came up with some other stories. Eventually, more and more people were beginning to understand that this came from the lab, right? Then they said, okay, second story was, because that wasn't working with the wet market anymore, the official story was it came from a lab in China, the Wuhan lab, and that's where it began. It was released only there and nowhere else, only there. And then from that lab in China, then it spread from China and then from China to the world. And they're still blaming China and not even talking about the USA's role in that. When China found out they were being blamed coming from their lab, then they started to blame the United States, saying, hey, it came from your lab. And if they told all the truth, if they can say it came from your lab, then you brought it to us and then we worked on it together. They don't say that. So then they were trying to blame the United States and say, and like the guy said at one clip, you were both developing it. But both of them did not, even the United States and China, the people that are in on this conspiracy, did not want you to know it came from the lab. They really try, even now, you're going to learn as we go on, even now they're trying to say it came from the wet market. They don't want you to know it came from the lab. They don't want you to believe it came from nature, and that it only came from China. The truth is that this virus was purposely released throughout the whole world by at least fall 2019, through the whole world at the same time, not just from China. It was released throughout the whole world, and most probably by chemtrails from planes flying over and dispersing these virus throughout the whole world. And if you follow the history, which we're going to get into here, and that's going to prove it when we show you the history here. We'll go on to it in a minute here. The first time anybody had the indication that something was wrong by the official reports was in December of 2019. They said some people are dying in China from mysterious pneumonia. They didn't know what it was yet. So not until January 2020 was the first COVID, on January 11th, I think, was the first COVID case declared in China. And then from there on in, then they said, okay, now it's going from China throughout the world. But as you're going to learn, this virus was already released before then, probably in the fall of 2019. As you're going to learn. But now we're going to get to another point where I get into these details, is that these conspirators planned this pandemic, this COVID-19 pandemic, years before it occurred. So they were already planning for this thing. And then, as we said, the devil likes to make what we call diabolical prophecies or predictions that make you think how powerful he is or how wonderful he is. And he's saying, hey, look, we prophesized this or we predicted this. Now, they talk about predicted occurrences, when it's predicted, it means that the man's involved in it. He knows he's going to do it. So if you know you're going to do something next week, you can predict it a week before because you know you're going to do it. That's a predictive program. A diabolical prophecy, and we have those too, is when the devil does it and no humans are involved. So the devil will tell the top Jew in the world or the Freemasons that we're going to create, the devil's going to say, I'm going to create a famine 1 year from now throughout the whole world. The devil does it himself, okay? So then the Jew comes out a year before and says, I prophesize in 1 year from now there's going to be a worldwide famine. And it occurs. And I call that a diabolical prophecy because it came from Satan, and these are diabolical prophets. And that happens a lot throughout the history of mankind, through witches, warlocks, and these people prophesizing things that are going to happen. But this is different. This is what we call predictive programming, because humans planned it. They knew they were going to do it, and they knew exactly when they were going to do it. And now we have, and they like to put their programs out there to say, hey, see, we told you this was going to happen. And it makes them look like prophets in a way, because it does, because if it came from nature, they would be prophets, because it didn't come from man. See, we told you this was going to happen. So this predictive programming, you see them planning about this event that's happening now, this particular COVID-19 conspiracy, and what's going to happen when it hits. And we're going to give you a few examples of that. We have the about them planning for this virus, for this big, this COVID-19, before it even happened. And we're going to show you where Bill Gates and Fauci, Bill Gates in 2015 and Fauci in 2017 were planning for this COVID, which didn't even occur yet. We're going to go to the clip.
There is no question that there will be a surprise outbreak.
Anthony Fauci knew as early as January of 2017 that we would see an outbreak before the end of 2020. Even Bill Gates, a man with no medical training, knew it was coming.
If we start now, we can be ready for the next epidemic.
Given, as you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak.
Whoa, the Prophet Fauci prophesizes a surprise outbreak. How does he know? Now, you know, he hangs himself either way. You think this is, if it is a prophecy, then you're working, the devil's speaking, telling you about it. But he's lying here. It's not a prophecy. He knows it's going to happen. You want to know why you know it's going to happen? Because you're going to be one of the main guys to make it happen, you stupid jerk. Trying to pull the wool over the people's eyes. They see what these people are all about. I can't stand that Fauci. Just look at him. I want to smack his face off. I want to torture the pastor. Take his head off and put it on a pike if I had power over him. They call him Cardinal Fauci. Cardinal Fauci. You know, here he is. A surprise. You know what somebody should have asked him? Yeah. Nobody asked the right questions. You know, multimedia is all in on this, too. I say, oh, stop, Fauci. How do you know it's going to happen? Did the devil tell you when you were sleeping? And you thought it was God? Or... you know you're going to do it, because you're going to do it. You're planning to do it. What are the two solutions?
Masonic Lodge.
Yeah. He's a Freemason. We got a picture of, we'll show that later when we get into him. He's definitely a Freemason. Now, other predictive programs that were predicting this COVID-19 conspiracy before it happened was a movie in 2011 called Contagion. This was phenomenal, this movie. I'll show you a few clips from this. I want to just summarize it for you at least. The whole thing was that this COVID-19 type of virus was released throughout the world. Same effects as COVID, same restrictions, masks. You have to stay in your house, all the restrictions, everything was there. And the whole thing's happening. And the basis was, where did it come from? And one guy comes up and he said it was man-made, it was in a lab. And he's beginning to look like he's really telling the truth. But in the end, they make him look like a jerk. And in the end, the whole thing ends up like, it didn't come from a lab, it came from nature. So we will show you parts on a clip from that. And that's how the whole thing ended. So when the real COVID comes along, and we now have this real argument about was it the lab or nature, you're going to go, hey, I remember that movie Contagion, the lab guy was a jerk. He was an idiot. It was in nature. And that's the purpose of the Contagion movie.
What we are hearing from Beijing is that the outbreak is contained to the chrysanthemum complex in Hong Kong. 2 deaths and 10 suspected cases. Same protocols established for SARS. They're quarantining the complex and screening for symptoms.
Kowloon is the most densely populated area in the world, and Hong Kong is a harbor. It's going to spread.
Hong Kong is sending us blood samples.
We're also looking at samples from London. 2 clusters, one at a hotel, the other at a health club. 5 dead, encephalitis. And there's the man on the bus in Tokyo. 3 dead in that cluster.
Any of them travel to China or London?
We're checking.
Send it to Sussman in San Francisco. If he doesn't know what it is, nobody does.
Shows novel characteristics and appears to be chimeric in origin. Virus is 15 to 19 kilobases in length and containing 6 to 10 genes. Typical of a paramyx of virus,
Godzilla,
potentially King a Kong mutant on...
And Frankenstein, all in
hold
one.
Hold on, shit, I'll call you back.
And you've got it in there, haven't you?
Oh, really? Look,
where'd
get
it come
away
from
here, Alan.
Military,
you're not a doctor and you're not a writer.
Organism. Yes, I am a writer. Yes, I am.
Blogging is not writing. It's graffiti with punctuation.
I am a journalist, and there's informed discussion on the blogosphere that this is a biological weapon.
If you want to talk to me, call my office and make an appointment.
When did we run out of body bags?
2 days ago. I tried to get more in from Canada, but they just want to wait and see.
There are stories circulating on the internet that in India and elsewhere, the drug ribavirin has been shown to be effective against this virus. Yet, Homeland Security is telling the CDC not to make any announcements until stockpiles of the drug can be secured.
Well, Dr. Gupta, there continue to be evaluations of several drugs. Ribavirin is among them. But right now, our best defense has been social distancing. No handshaking, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands frequently.
Can you tell us to date how many people have died from this virus?
Very difficult. We're still working on confirming that number. There are 50 different states in this country, which means there are 50 different health departments, followed by 50 different protocols.
Well, let me bring in Alan Crumwoody into this debate as well. Alan's a freelance journalist. He was the first to track the Shinko Busman video. Alan, today on Twitter, you wrote that the truth about this virus is being kept from the world by the CDC, by the World Health Organization, to allow friends of the current administration to benefit from it, both financially and physically.
There are therapies we know are effective right now, like forsythia, and they don't even appear on the CDC website.
On your blog, you also wrote that the World Health Organization is somehow in bed with pharmaceutical companies?
Because they are. That's who stands to gain from this. They're working hand in glove.
And the hand is reaching into our pockets.
The CDC is exploring forsythia and other homeopathic treatments, but right now there's no science to back any of these claims.
Or no way Dr. Cheever or the people who put him into power can profit from it.
We're not ruling anything out. There are people who are sick, people who are dying, and we
are keeping us
safe from this any more than they kept
us
safe
about the health
of American
citizens.
Or Katrina. Dr. Cheever is being a bit disingenuous when he says every American citizen.
We're working very hard to find out where this virus came from, to treat it,
and to vaccinate against it if we can. We don't know all of that yet. We just don't know. What we do know is that in order to become sick, you have to first come in contact with a sick person or something that they touched.
In order to get scared, all you have to do is come in contact with a rumor or the television or the internet. I think
what Mr. Crumwoody is spreading is far more dangerous than the disease.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Are we even close?
If we even had a viable vaccine right now, we would still have to do human trials, and that would take weeks. And then we would have to get clearance and approval, figure out manufacturing and distribution. That would take months. And then train survivors to give inoculations. More months, more deaths.
Well, Homeland Security wants to know if we could put a vaccination in the water supply, like fluoride, cure everyone all at once.
I'm going home now, Ellis. It's getting late. Merry Christmas.
The Food and Drug Administration is accelerating approval of the MEV-1 vaccine currently in production at 5 secret locations in the U.S. and Europe, saying the first doses could be available for human use within 90 days. The WHO estimates that it could take nearly a year to manufacture and distribute the necessary amount of the vaccine to stop the spread of the virus, which so far has taken over 26 million lives worldwide. But as labs work around the clock to produce the life-saving formula, the question remains, who gets it first?
After the Spanish flu in 1918, you know, people got rich. The Vicks vapor rub people, the Lysol people, look it up. One man dies, another man makes
money off his coffin. One country culls all their chickens, red meat goes into higher demand. I'm not the first person to make money off the fact that our immune system is a work in progress. The pharmaceutical industry do it every quarter.
I don't think anyone is immune to opportunity, Alan. It's just that the studies show that there is no proof that Forsythia works.
Who conducted the studies? What defines works? Against what strain of the virus?
Did you know about the studies when we met the last time? We can get in a lot of trouble.
You really think this Dr. Hextall CDC person is Jesus in a lab coat? The government rushed the trials. The lawyers indemnified the drug companies. Maybe it causes autism or narcolepsy or cancer 10 years from now. Who knows? The swine flu vaccine killed people back in 1976. Nerve disease. So we're all guinea pigs starting from today. Just wait. They'll start listing side effects like the credits at the end of a movie.
People trust you, Alan. If you tell them not to take it...
That's right. They trust me. All 12 million unique visitors. I'm a trusted man stepping up to a microphone in front of a very large crowd. That's who I am. That's the brand. I say the right thing. Nobody shows up for their shot. Maybe they'd rather roll the dice with Forsythia. I can make that happen. I just want to know I'm in the best position possible when I do.
What does that mean exactly?
I'm going to step into the crosshairs. I want to know what's in. Is he with you?
What? Who?
Are you wearing a wire?
Alan, I didn't have a choice. They've seen your blog.
For what? Tell me for what?
Security fraud, conspiracy, and most likely manslaughter.
It cured me. Forsythia cured me.
We'll see, Alan.
This is entrapment. You can't take my blood. You can't. That's my property.
We may never know where this disease came from, but we do know that this vaccine is a result of the courage and perseverance of a remarkable few. We shall now begin the drawing. Gun. First MEV 1 vaccination are those people born on March 10th. March 10th. Remind all of you to stay 10 feet apart from each other while online.
Mr. Crumweedy, you never had the virus. You have no antibodies. You lied.
Of course, that's what your labs say.
Forsythia is a lie. It's a lie, and you made $4.5 million for telling it. You want to blog about that? You are going to go away, Mr. Crumweedy, and so is all your money. Hell, I can't even imagine all the civil suits people are going to file against you, and I have a pretty good imagination. And now you want to tell people not to get vaccinated, and that's the best chance they've got. I could throw your computer in jail, I would.
Are we done here?
Evidently, there are 12 million other people as crazy as you are. You made bail, congratulations.
Majority's going straight from the band trip to her mom's place. My job interview got pushed to next week. I'm not really sure what that means. Hopefully nothing.
My arm.
Oh, wait, come here. Sit down. Watch your feet. Come on, honey. Okay, what happened? Did you take too much of that blue shit?
Money? Oh, Beth.
Hey, honey, Beth, sweetheart. Hey, Beth.
Mom?
No. Stay there, Clark. Don't. Just go. Go up to your room, honey. Honey.
Yes, Beth.
Can you hear me? My name's Dr. Arrington.
She
you're in the
wasn't
hospital.
Feeling well, and then this morning.
You had a seizure this morning, Beth. Have you had something like that before?
She had a history of seizures.
No.
Allergies, other
medical problems. I think she's allergic to penicillin.
Recently? Did her head
No.
Shower?
She came back from a trip, and she.
What about drugs? MDMA? Ecstasy?
No, we don't do that. Hey, Beth.
Yes, Doc.
Let's get a line in her and give me 2 milligrams of Ativan, please.
So, despite all her efforts, she failed to respond.
Okay.
And her heart stopped, and unfortunately, she did die.
Now, another movie, too, was The Dead Zone in 2003. That also is one of these predictive programmings.
All right, what's going on?
Just let me think about where to start.
Well, he saw something. What is it?
I saw a virus. I think some kind of disease.
A virus? Like what? Like SARS?
I don't know. All I know is that it's highly infectious. It may be fatal. Right now, we could all be infected. If we take this outside, we risk the whole town.
Johnny, how big is this gonna get?
I don't know. We just have to do everything we can to stop this, starting right now, Walter.
He's right. All right, here's what's gonna happen. We need to make sure that everybody that's inside stays inside. I'm gonna get a few deputies on it. We'll call it a lockdown.
Lockdown?
Well, until I come up with something better.
Halt, no. No, you cannot lock the school doors with...
This is for your family's safety.
Will I get sick too?
Yeah.
Maybe we should wear masks.
What difference does it make? According to you, we've already been exposed.
Let's get one thing straight, Mr. Smith. I'm responding to political pressure.
You have no reason to be scared. Let me ask you something, Amy. Animals. You've been around any animals in the backyard, even, let's say, a skunk, a raccoon? And I'm going to swab the inside of your mouth with this little Q-tip. Trying to get a handle on this animal. Damn efficient airborne transmission. Blood tests and swabs aren't telling us much. We know... It acts like a virus. It causes high fever and respiratory distress. Tracking and treating a mysterious outbreak like this would take the CDC months.
We better get started, Beth. Anyone who hasn't been exposed already needs to wear a mask.
China. Isn't that where flu viruses come from?
Yeah. A lot of viruses come from there.
International flight to China?
That's no coincidence. Whatever it is, it originated in China.
Time is not on our side.
It's like looking for a needle in a needle stack.
We have ruled out all the usual suspects. Influenza, SARS, bacterial pneumonia.
How long is it going to take?
Well, it took 34 days to isolate the coronavirus that caused SARS, and that's fast.
I'm authorizing a quarantine on everyone who's come in contact with a symptomatic person.
There's got to be something I can do.
And the enzyme has viruses when they were using.
So the chloroquine. So the chloroquine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The chloroquine.
This is it. This is your virus.
I'm sorry, but there's no cure for that. Chloroquine. That's an anti-malarial drug.
No. Listen, it suppresses the enzymes.
Welcome back, you damn fool.
What happened? We started everyone on chloroquine, stopped the thing dead in its tracks. Now, the CDC would have figured it out eventually, but not in time.
Another predictive program was The Simpsons, that buffoonish, stupid cartoon thing. A lot of these cartoons do, the diabolical conspirators use them to reveal their plans, like Rocky and Bullwinkle had a lot to do with the Soviet Union communism. So a lot of these people, they see their little, the devil's like the Marcus thing and have his little marks where he's showing you what he's doing, what his conspiracies are. Simpsons is full of a lot of stuff. It's just a buffoonish, goofy, stupid thing. But in this particular episode, which was season 22, episode 6, called The Fool of Monty, and it was aired on November 21st, 2010, is another predictive program of what's happening now.
I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions, too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
Yeah.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I... Oh. Wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah. So, we've got our deadly disease. Now, we just have to blame it on something that's in every household, something that people are a little bit afraid of already. House cat flu is coming, people. The Center for Disease Disinformation predicts with some degree of probability that the house cat flu might spread in the following hypothetical outbreak pattern.
Another predictive program was from Rockefeller Foundation. All right, and it's from the year 2010 when they put out this report here. It's called Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. And it's a 50-some page document, but I'm only going to read the one that relates to your pandemics. And it's called Scenario Narratives, and it's called Lockstep, a world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. And this is, you'll learn on later on, the whole reason, one of the reasons, the main reasons they're doing this is to put everybody under complete dependency to the government and big businesses. That's the whole purpose in the end, that everyone's going to be under total control of the government and big businesses. Now, I'm going to read from their program here. In 2012, the pandemic that the world, now this was written in 2010, so they're predicting, they're saying, hey, we're going to say this happens in 2012, but this is written in 2010. So this is their scenario, the thing they made up. That's really going to happen now, and there's going to be a, and this, they also predict another one after this, which is going to be worse. And this is just the first stage. This COVID-19, there's going to be another one coming later on, which is going to be even more severe. But they're going, in 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years finally hit. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain, originating from wild geese, see, nature, was extremely virulent and deadly. Even the most pandemic-prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when a virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months, the majority of them healthy young adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economies, International mobility of both people and goods stretched to halt. You can't go here, you can't go there. You got to have a passport to go over here if you want. Canada just came out with a new thing now. If you're a Canadian citizen, you visit the USA, and you go back into Canada, they quarantine you for 3 days at least, and yet they have to pay for your own quarantine hotel they put you in, which is like $2,000, and they don't even give you proper food and water. Anyway, debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains. This is not all happening now. You're going to learn what's really bad about it. This virus isn't even really deadly. It's a phony baloney. It's not a deadly virus. That's the big lie we're going to learn about later on. The next one they're going to have maybe will be. Even locally, normally bustling shops and office buildings sat empty for months, devoid of both employers and customers. Predictive programming.
Yeah.
Now, if they were predicting, if they were planning to do this, then it's a diabolical prophecy that the devil's telling them. And they would probably say, God's warning us. We're heroes to humanity. We're God's prophets. Bill Gates thinks he's that way. And Rockefeller Foundation could say, hey, we were prophets warning the world. The pandemic blanketed the planet. Though disproportionate numbers died in Africa, Southeast Asia and Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire in absence of official containment protocols. But even in developing, remember they tried to say that it was really going to break out big time in those countries in the beginning when this started? But now it's all over the place. It's not just there. But even in developed countries, containment was a challenge. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency, accelerating the spread of the virus, not just within the U.S., but across borders. However, a few countries did fare better, China in particular. The Chinese government's quick imposition enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant near hermetic sealing off of all borders, saved millions of all lives, stopping the spread of the virus far early than any other countries, enabling a swifter post-pandemic recovery. See, you know what I'm saying? This because China is a communist dictatorship. It's an authoritative capitalistic country. It has total control over its people. And that's really what they want to happen to the whole world. They want you to imitate Antichrist. He wants you to be under him, one guy controlling all the governments and all the big businesses, and you have to be subject to them, just like a communist dictatorship where all the plebs, the lower people are like the plebs, and only the ruling class gets the special privileges. That's really the purpose of what's going on here. That's why they're praising China, because they want everyone to imitate them. And they're eventually going to say, hey, this doesn't work in a democracy. It has to be an authoritative dictatorship where the people are forced to do these things.
Now, Catholics do not support a democracy because it's a heretical form of government. But I'm making the point that for the Antichrist to come to world power, he needs to have domination over the world, and his dictatorship will be a tyranny. Catholics support monarchies, Catholic governments, Catholic kingdoms, which are also dictatorships, but they're beneficent dictatorships under the control of God. So in these final days,
men have only two choices.
Which dictatorship do you want to be under? The authoritative, tyrannical dictatorship of the Antichrist, or the beneficent dictatorship of Christ the King, which is right here in these final days, in Truth and Consequences, New Mexico.
You can see they're leading towards us here. You can learn about that later on as we go. China's government was not only one that took extreme measures to protect its citizens from risk and exposure. During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flexed their authority and imposed airtight rules and restrictions, from the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks at entries of communal spaces. This was done in 2010. This is all happening now. This is just a scenario. Spaces like train stations and supermarkets. Even after the pandemic faded, this more authoritarian control and oversight of citizens and their activities stuck and even intensified. So even when it's over, hey, people get used to it. I like this. This is neat. Just even though there's not another one, I don't want to have another one. They're even trying to say, hey, we might do this now for the common flu. So no one needs to get the common flu. And so we get rid of the common flu. Maybe it calls even. You know, we can get to the point where we can lock everybody up in his own room. He can have a hazmat suit on, and he doesn't have to have contact with any other human beings, and feed him with food under the door, every human being in the world. But they're really doing this to try to put you under tight government control and big businesses. Those are the only two entities left standing at the end of this. Your big businesses and governments are at the top of the chain and working for the Antichrist. Freemasons are the big ones that do the bulk of the work for these apostate Jews. Because Jews couldn't do it alone. They needed some stupid Gentiles to do it. So they got the Freemasons. In order to, they got other stupid idiots working for them too. Useful idiots. Money's a very powerful incentive. In order to protect themselves from the spread of increasingly global problems, from pandemics and transnational terrorism to environmental crises and rising poverty, leaders around the world took a firmer grip on power. At first, the notion of more controlled world gained wide acceptance and approval. Oh yeah? Who's who? Are you kidding me? Citizens willingly gave up some of their... Well, you know what's interesting? There's semi-right on this. I'll tell you what I mean in a minute. Citizens willingly gave up some of their sovereignty and their privacy to more paternalistic states in exchange for greater safety and stability. Now, you notice, he's semi-happy. The stupid lefty liberals are really bad on this. The Trump Republicans and us conservative-minded people hate this stuff. We don't go along with it. We hate it. We know what's going on here. The stupid lefty liberals, they're idiots. They do. They are going along with it. They'll kill you if you don't have a mask. You know, they'll get all over your case. They're lining up for the vaccine, shooting you 20 vaccines. But us on the conservative say, get away from me. This is a conspiracy. This is bullcrap. This is not a real serious problem. This is no more dangerous, less dangerous than the flu even, if not equal. So it's a big lie. So you've got about half of the people that are accepting this authoritative measures. And you get other half that aren't. In China, they have no choice. They're all under authoritative dictatorship. They have no choice whether to accept it or not. Now you learn sort of why China's taking the blame for all of this, because they can handle it. They have a dictatorship. They don't have no problem for civil unrest or revolution. But in the United States and Europe, there could be a big revolution if the people ever found out that the United States and the European leaders were in on this whole COVID-19 conspiracy and creating the whole thing. All right, now, there's more on that, but that was the quote from the Rockefeller Foundation's predictive programming, which they would call prophecy. Because if you, Mr. Rockefeller, okay, how did you know this? Oh, because we're planning it. We're going to be the ones who release it. He's not going to say that. You know what? So he's like, well, it's prophecy. We know it. Hitler got it. I woke up one night again, just like the other guy, and I had a vision, and God spoke to me and told me, protect the world. Yeah, God, remember he said about Satan, 2 Corinthians 10:14, Satan himself transformed himself into the angel of light. He doesn't come and say he's a devil. He appears to these people as if he's God. Or they believe in aliens, maybe. So you got these stupid, they're aliens or devils. Appearing as aliens, space creatures, it's a devil. It's Satan and the devils. And he comes to you, we are the higher power, and we're here to help the human race. Anyway, that's another predictive program. Now we're going to go and to prove to you how COVID-19 was released upon the world in the summer or fall of 2019, but kept secret until January 2020. Now, first we're going to give you the official history of the COVID line, which you get today from the official line. December 31st, 2019, the World Health Organization, known as WHO, the World Health Organization, that's who. It says a mysterious pneumonia is sickening dozens of people in China. They don't say what it is yet. But note the date, December 31st, 2019. Then on January 11, 2020, China reports the first novel coronavirus death in January 11, 2020. Now, January 21st, 2020, was the first confirmed case in the United States by a man in his 30s from Washington State who traveled to Wuhan. Now we're going to get into something here in a minute on this. This is the one I heard about. Okay, the first time I heard about the U.S. February 29th, 2020 case. The first COVID-19 death is reported in the United States in Washington State after a man with no travel history to China dies on February 28th at Evergreen Health Medical Center, Kirkland, Washington. Now, when I heard that, I went, wait a second. This thing just started in China about a month ago, and a guy's got it in Washington State who didn't go to China, and he's locked up in a medical health center, and he doesn't have contact with anybody who came from China. As soon as I heard that, you know what I said right away? They released it in the United States. Where did he get it from? Don't bullshit me and try to tell me that somehow they sent one guy over from China after a month, and he traveled over to this one guy's place and he gave it to him. Because the minute I heard that, right away, my radar went up. I said, this is crazy. I said, the virus don't spread that quick. And this guy never went to China, never had any access by anybody who came from China, and he was in a contained facility. I said, right away, This thing has already been released in the USA. That's what I said. Now, you notice the one before that? That wasn't the first one they reported. It was the one I just told you, the February 28th one. Later on, he came out and said, oh, but we had another guy in the United States on January 21st, about a month before this guy, and he's the first confirmed case of the infection of it, but he didn't die from it. You know why he said that? Because they want you to believe, oh, he, and they said he's the one that went to China. So they want you to believe that this guy went to China, he came back, and that other guy got it a month later in the medical center. All right? That's, so they did that to try to cover their ass and say, hey, there's no China connection here. So we got to come up with a guy who we said visited China, all right, came back, and he got it a month before this guy got it. Because if you followed the news reports that I did, the first one came out was this guy who died from it. Then he came out with this other one over here to cover their ass. And even that doesn't make sense, because then that guy would have had to visit this medical center and pay the guy a visit. And they're not, if they're not even related, they're both in Washington State, but this guy was in the... he died in the medical health center, but United States. But he would have had to visit this guy and have contact with this guy. But that's the reason they gave you that one after they gave you this one. You say, no, I know he didn't go to China. And it says here, right here, he had no travel history to China. So then they came up with another one before it and said, well, this guy did, and he probably gave it to him. But anyway, right away, I went and said, something's going on here. And we got definitive proof that this thing was spread out the world way before it was reported even as being spreading around in China. Now, it wasn't really declared a pandemic. Oh, pandemic means that now it's spreading through the world. Until March of 2020. That's when they declared it a pandemic. March 2020. Now you know that's the official history line. Now we're going to go and show to you those who had COVID in places other than China before it was publicly acknowledged. Before it even was said to start in China. And it happened before that. So how do you explain that, right? So first of all, we're going to talk about people we know. I'm not going to give their names for the sake of their privacy. I don't want them to be bugged by anybody. But people we know who had it. All right? A man, people we know that I know personally had it and had it pretty bad and recovered from it. We didn't know what it was. And it was something weird. The symptoms that make COVID really weird is it's like the flu, but when you have the cough, it's a non-productive cough. It's a dry cough. So that's what was different about it. And it was really hard on the respiratory. So it's a real virus. I mean, you're going to learn later on there's a cure for it. No one needs to die from this at all. No one. There's cures for it. And this is one proof of it here, by the way. And I said, this is a weird thing, you know. And all of a sudden the person got a couple days, it went away. No treatment, no hospital, no nothing. Gone. Went away. They would have went to the hospital, they would have been murdered. I'm not talking about the people working in the hospital, but the orders that come down from above, they murder these people when they go into the hospitals. Now, William Norris knows a man and his whole family that had it. Now, the person I knew that I'm telling you who had it, they had it in January of 2020. January of 2020. That's when China said, oh, we got our first case in China, January 11, 2020. So it must have jumped from China and over to the United States in Tier City, lightning speed. And I can testify that the person I knew who had it doesn't know any Chinese people. Wasn't in contact with anybody from China, stays to themselves, and very isolated person, sort of like a hermit, no contact. So, how did this person get it? How did they get it? All right? Will knows a man in his family, and his whole family who had it, in December of 2019, in Tier C, New Mexico, before... This is when it was happening in China. They said something's going on in China. So same event though. That if it started in China, how did it get over here so quick? Another person we know had it in 2020. Another person we know had it in February 2020. So in the case, all these cases, because the earliest report was something's going on in December 2019 in China, is that this thing moved quick. And I guarantee you, the people I'm talking about, at least the one I know about, has no contact with no Chinese people, no contact with people hardly ever, and overcame it. But you're telling me that it jumped from China that quick? You know, they have slow boats from China, and now we got fast boats from China. Matter of fact, we must have like the Habibook Express or something. They pick the guy up from here and throw him over here and land him in tears. Oh, this was spread long before, like I said, you're going to see, summer and fall of 2019, it was spread by airplanes around the world. And they want China. They want China to take the blame, and China's willing to take the blame. We're going to get all the reasons why of what's going on here. Now, this is people we know. Now, later on, if people were following the news, they came out with take a blood samples of people who died or were sick before December 2019 in Italy and in Sweden. And I think that we have a clip even here in the United States. And we're going to go to the clip to show you that, well, this was the one in Italy was, no, France too, right? France, Italy, and Sweden. The one in France was from December 27th, 2019. And so they had the guy's blood samples, and they took and tested it. So he had COVID, and that was the date on that was December 27th, 2019. In France, a guy in Sweden, November 2019. This guy in Sweden's blood sample, November 2019. A month before the people were even getting sick in China. So they weren't even getting sick in China yet. This guy's already got it over in Sweden a month before that. September 2019 is when he had the COVID. So several months before it even began in China, these guys have it. Lying bastards. People don't want to use their rationale and reasoning to figure these things out. Their proof is all before you. They don't even care if you know about it. It's like 9/11 and the Holocaust lie. Now, let's go to the clip showing you, and when these clips came out, I went, hey, and they were all shocked. How could this be if it only started in China? It was already in China. They spread it throughout the whole world, and they wanted China to take the blame, but it was spread throughout the whole world all at the same time. Here, we'll go to the clip on this.
When this 43-year-old was admitted to hospital in France in December, he had a fever and a cough. Doctors said he had some kind of viral pneumonia that they couldn't pinpoint. That was until they recently retested one of his swabs.
Positive for COVID-19.
It was positive for COVID-19. That means France had its first case December 27th, 5 days before China reported cases in Wuhan to the WHO, and 1 month before cases started officially popping up in Europe.
So this gives us a whole new picture on everything. And yes, of course, it would be great if all countries who have unspecified cases of pneumonia in the recent months would check them against COVID-19.
Sweden isn't testing old samples, but its chief epidemiologist thinks the country likely had COVID-19 cases in November. In California, recent autopsies confirmed two people died from the virus weeks before the first death was reported in the U.S. Canada's top doctor says the priority here is blood tests to figure out who has been infected instead of trying to pinpoint just when infections started emerging.
There's always a opportunity, I think, to sort of go back further if needed to test samples. We haven't actually, as I know it, discussed that as yet.
Viruses are elusive. They're tricky. They're hard to pin down.
This epidemiologist says in places with little community spread, such as the Maritimes, testing old samples is a good idea.
It would be great for them to reach into the freezer and go back a few months and see what specimens do they have that they could test randomly, because that would be really helpful knowledge for all of us.
And not just because it would zero in on when COVID-19 started spreading here, but early strains could help show how the virus is mutating, and that would be useful to scientists working on vaccines. Briar Stewart, CBC News, Vancouver.
Okay, so let's pick up on this with Dr. Allison McGeer, an infectious diseases specialist. Dr. McGeer, what is the potential significance of all of this in your mind?
Well, so I think the most important thing actually is the knowledge that it had already spread really before we closed borders. And it's really a marker of the fact that it's probably pointless to talk about, we could have made this go away if we'd acted soon enough, because what this is telling us is the virus was out in the world a month before probably most of us suspected it was. It had already started spreading in large areas of the world, and just takes a long time for it to build up. So I think we underestimated how long it took, and then we thought, well, it didn't arrive until, you know, later in February or March in most places, when in fact it had substantially spread around the world sometime probably late in January.
Very interesting. Okay, Dr. McGeer, thanks so much.
She's wrong about that, though. It goes back to September, 3 months before it was reported. She may not have known that at this period of time when she's speaking here, but she's telling you that this was spread out through the world before we even knew it. Before, and you said it came only from China, but it's in the whole world. And now we know, we already have a case, as you're going to see later on, in September, as early as September, which is the fall of 2019 in Italy. We're going to go to that clip now. So it's not just January. It goes back 3 months before they even knew about it. Which dispels a lie that it only came from China. And it started there, it was released there, and then went through, it was already, and how does it get throughout the whole world at the same time? Usually it starts in one place and gets the neighbors, and then the neighbor, and then it spreads like that. This hit everybody. It was spread throughout the whole world at the same time by airplanes, chemtrails, flying over the areas that were assigned to them, and releasing the stuff over the whole world. That's how it happened. There's no other explanation for what you're hearing here. How does somebody get it in the United States and China, and at the same time, it didn't buy person to person. Someone's dropping this stuff. Someone's bringing it in here. Now, we're going to go to a clip in Italy where you see about people that had evidence of guys from September 2019 who had COVID-19.
A study by Milan's National Cancer Institute has found the coronavirus appears to have been circulating in Italy since as early as September 2019, signalling that COVID-19 might have spread beyond China months earlier than previously thought.
She says, spread from China. No, it didn't spread from China. Because if it spread from China, they would have had cases in September and October and November. If they had cases in September in Italy, they would have surely had them in China. And the first reports in China was not until December 2019. Look at the facts. They still want to blame China, though, in spite of what she's looking at here. If that's in Italy in September 2019, China would have had it at that time also. And the first time that they had any of these problems was December 2019. So she's not telling the truth on that one there.
The World Health Organization has said the disease was unknown before the outbreak was first reported in Wuhan in December, and Italy's first COVID-19 patient was detected on February 21 in a town outside Milan. The Cancer Institute looked at past lung cancer screenings and found that 12% of volunteers in a screening trial had developed coronavirus antibodies between September 2019 and March 2020, and well before February. A further specific antibodies test was carried out by the University of Siena for the same research. A co-author of the study told Reuters that it showed 4 cases dated back to the first week of October were also positive for antibodies neutralizing the virus, meaning they had got infected in September. He also said that it showed the virus could remain in a population with a low lethality rate, only to surge again later. Italian researchers had previously told Reuters in March that they reported a higher than usual number of cases of severe pneumonia and flu in Lombardy in the last quarter of 2019, another sign that the new coronavirus might have circulated earlier than previously thought.
Now we're going to go to a clip that talks about the cases from the United States that happened earlier than when it was reported to have occurred in China.
The first known case of COVID-19 in the U.S. was reported in late January, but a new study suggests the virus could have been circulating around the country earlier than first thought.
Mandy Gaither has more in today's Your Health Matters.
When did COVID-19 first come into the U.S.? It's a question being asked once again.
On January 21st is when we had the first confirmed patient with COVID in this country. And even then, the sense was, did we really catch the very first patient?
A new study published in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases suggests that was not the first U.S. case. Scientists at the CDC analyzed almost 7,400 blood donations collected in 9 states by the American Red Cross. loss from mid-December 2019 through mid-January 2020. Of the samples tested, more than 100 were found to have novel coronavirus reactive antibodies, including ones collected from California, Oregon, and Washington from December 13th through December 16th, 2019. Those antibodies may appear from past infections with the virus that causes COVID-19, leading the study's authors to believe there may have been COVID infections in the U.S. in mid-December of last year.
This is a highly contagious virus that almost from the beginning, when it started to transmit among humans in China, it was spreading around the world. An outbreak anywhere is an outbreak everywhere.
And you know, she said, an outbreak anywhere is an outbreak everywhere. Well, that's a stupid statement. That is, are you a doctor? Here's how, like Ebola was in Africa, but never came over here. I mean, we got outbreaks of things that only stay local because they contain them or it doesn't go anywhere else. An outbreak anywhere is an outbreak. That sounds like God's omnipotent. Like it's an omnipotent virus. It's like he's everywhere. It's an all omnipotent virus. It happened in China and instantaneously it happened. That's what he's saying, this guy.
He's actually telling you that we put it out there because it happened in one place. It automatically happened.
That's what he's really saying. If it happened anywhere, that means we did it everywhere.
That's right.
It was all done by us at the same time. So, but you want me, because that's a stupid statement. And he's a doctor. You want to listen to this guy. An outbreak anywhere is an outbreak everywhere. Yeah. That's the dumbest statement I ever heard. Yeah. How many pandemics does he stay in only one area and doesn't go over here? And then it's everywhere. Okay, so that's who wants you to believe. Oh, it started in China. Regardless, if it started in USA, it would have went everywhere. But it started in China, and then it was everywhere, instantaneously. And even it goes backwards in time. It's a God. Past, present, and future. It's like God. The virus is God. He's everywhere. It's all-powerful, all-omnipotent, all-backwards, future, forward, God virus. It's the God virus.
It's a Freudian slip.
You should have said we released it everywhere at the same time.
I think that's what this reminds us of.
For today's Health Minute, I'm Mandy Gaither.
According to the CDC, antibodies usually start developing within 1 to 3 weeks after a COVID-19 infection.
Here's where this bastard is lying, okay? First of all, it didn't first occur in China until December 2019. They got people in the United States who have it in December 2019. You're trying to tell me it's just instantaneously transmitted to the United States with that period of time? You lying piece of crap, phony, baloney, Freemasonic scientist, doctor. I can't stand these guys. They got them all over the place. He's a lying bastard. That's not illogical what he said. It transfers fast. Oh, yeah, real fast. It first shows up in China, December, and in the United States, boom! Look at the Chinese people, Wuhan, I don't know where that area is. I mean, do they travel to the United States? That means somebody in the Wuhan area had to get on a plane and travel not to just one place, several places, and spread it to the United States, and you had to get there, like, really quick and do it. But this doesn't solve another, this is another thing where he's lying, and I don't know when this thing was filmed, but when they came out with the blood samples of November and September in Italy, what do you say about that, pal? It didn't even begin in China until December. What do you say about the September cases in Italy and the other cases in November in France? What do you say about that one? Does it go backwards in time? Does the clock stop and then it goes backwards in time? It happens over here in December in China, but then China turns the clock back to September and throws it over into Italy? You stupid, lying piece of crap. They don't care. It's like the 9/11 stuff when they lie. They lie and they're laughing at you. That's a stupid thing what he said. Even just with the evidence he has. Oh, it transfers pretty fast. Yeah. Oh, it was released in China in December, but now we find out in December, it was in Italy, it was in France. Wow! Those people must be world travelers over in Wuhan, and they must be really quick travelers. And it takes 3 weeks before you get infected and everything. I mean, this is a joke what he's saying here. This is a lie. And he knows what's up. Yeah, he knows that if this thing gets exposed, you're going to find out this thing was released throughout the whole world. And when I say at the same time, it might have went to Europe and a week later the United States, and now we're going to get this place over here, we're going to get Italy before we get the United States, but it was released before the official story of that it began only in Wuhan, China. And when it says that their blood samples had antibodies, that means they even had it before the time that they're speaking about. Now, we're going to talk about this, what they call the Event 201. Now, fall of 2019, you had these predictive programming, supposedly predictive programs, talking about, hey, what happens if we have a pandemic and what are we going to do? And it was another one of those predictive programs and scenarios. But I don't call it a predictive programming for one reason. These things occurred in the fall of 2019, and then they had the Event 201 in October of 2019. I don't call it a predictive program because it was already released. So what they're doing is they released this thing, and it takes a while to infect the people in the fall. They released it in the fall, and now they have these scenarios. Let's get together and let's find out what are we going to do when the people start coming down with it. How are we going to make it public? Who do we blame it on? How do we manipulate this thing? So this was occurring, these two programs, when the virus was actually released. And they're talking about like, oh, well, just for the next one, when it does happen. Now, if you go along with the official line that it didn't begin until December 2019, and the first case was in China, then you would say it's a predictive program. It didn't happen yet. They're just preparing. It's one of those either prophecies or predictive programs. But what's really happening is they already released it, and they knew it. And they said it's only taking about 3 weeks or a month before this thing starts to hit. And when it first starts to hit, people start getting sick. Call it the flu. Don't call it the COVID-19 yet. And then when we're ready to call it COVID-19 and blame it on China, China willingly took the blame too. They're in on it. And so this is the scenario they're setting now. So in the late summer and fall of 2019, a world at risk by Global Monitoring Preparedness Board, part of the WHO, World Health Organization, recommended that by September 2020, two global pandemic preparedness exercises be completed and gave rise to the Event 201 of October 2019, in which they go over all these particular things we're going through right now. And they're planning about what do we do with this? What happens if the people rebel? What happens if they don't want to listen? Should we force them? No, I don't think we should force them at first because they're not going to like that. They're getting to another one of these. What would have been a predictive program, but it's actually the virus was already released. It's announced the same thing because even if they, a year ago or 2010, they knew they were going to release it even back then. Only this time when they're doing these reports, the virus is already released throughout the world. Now we're going to go to a clip on this from Pandemic 2.
My systems flagged anomalies when I started seeing nonprofits and corporates and cover financing for coronavirus programs in the late summer and fall of 2019. Our first red flag came out when we read the World at Risk scenario. Now there's an organization called the Global Monitoring Preparedness Board. This organization is a part of the World Health Organization, and this board includes Dr. Elias from the Gates Foundation and Anthony Fauci from NIAID. These two individuals, plus the director of the Center for Disease Control in China, come out with a recommendation that says that by September 2020, two global pandemic preparedness exercises have to be completed. And one of them has to be done on the release of a respiratory pathogen that then gave rise to an October event, Event 201.
On behalf of our partners in the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation,
Event 201 took place 5 months before COVID-19 was declared a pandemic. The participants of the event are some of the same people that are now deeply involved in the real pandemic and profiting from it as well. Event 201 was a scripted, multi-camera, live event that was broadcast globally via the internet. An event of this complexity and magnitude would take months to write, prep, and produce, placing the conception date at least 1 year prior to the actual pandemic.
Now we're going to get into the part about why China was the one who took the blame willingly. They knew it. They knew they were going to take the blame. That was part of the plan. The United States transferred the virus over to China. They completed it in the China lab. That virus was then taken from the China lab, given to the United States and other people to spread throughout the world. And then the storyline was in China, the top people in China, that's everybody knows this, the top conspirators in China knew that we're going to be the ones who take the blame for releasing this thing because we can take the hit. We're a communist dictatorship. We're an authoritarian capitalistic country where the people are already under our yoke. So we have no problem of any type of revolution or uprising. We already got our people under government, and our businesses were under government. And so they said, if you guys get caught, and they say come, that it's from the United States or from Europe, it was risk of revolution. That's what we're afraid of, the right. The Trumpies, the righties are afraid of us. They know that there's a potential of a revolution because they don't have that much as much control over us as China does. So no problem saying it came from China. China says, we'll accept it. And why is China accept it? Because that's what they want, too. They want the whole world to be under that communist dictatorship, evil dictatorship. They want the whole thing. Antichrist wants that. So they want it, too. So they say, this is cool, good. We're already like that, so it's not going to hurt us. But it's going to hurt Europe and the United States and get rid of their democracy, which I don't like democracies anyway, so it's a punishment to democracies. So China's taking the blame for this. But here's the deal. China said, I don't want our people thinking that we released it, because then they're going to turn on us, and I don't want that to happen. So when it comes out, we have to say it came from nature. It had to come from the wet market in Wuhan, 10 miles from the Wuhan lab, the wet market, and it came from a bat for some animal. And we want that to be the key storyline, because if our people ever think we released it upon them, and they find out about that, we're going to have trouble over our own country even. And this is probably what's going on in the background, too. And I just show how the scenario works. And they're saying, if anybody tries to blame it coming from our lab, then we're going to have to point to the United States and say it came from your lab. Then we're going to start doing finger pointing if you try to get us involved with the lab thing. But when you follow this, you realize the whole thing. Everybody heard it. It was always the wet market. It was always the bat. Then all of a sudden, somebody started to bring up the fact that it came from a lab in Wuhan, China. When the lab thing started, China did not like that. They didn't want people to know it came from the lab, because then you would have said it came from our own people. Now, you remember when China at first did not yet point the finger at the United States, but you can see what's going on in the background. You better get the heat off of us, because if this thing comes down that it came from our lab, I'm going to tell them that it came from you. I'm going to throw you under the bus and say, I guess this thing came from the United States. They were in on it with us, and they didn't want to have, they don't want to have to do that, because it's going to ruin the whole plan. But they'll do it if they have to. So if you were following this when it first came out, and they said it was and here's an interesting thing too, when it first came out with China. We got all these other cases that are happening around the world before it came out in China, and China never said, hey, China took the blame. They did. If you follow it, they said, oh, we're sorry, it came from us. We'll contain it. They agreed to it. They're containing something that they already knew. Other people in the world were being affected with it at the same time. And they will, even after this evidence came out about Italy and Sweden, you think China came out and said, this proves it didn't start with us. We had it, but it was here and it was, they don't say that. They take the blame for it. And because that's their job, to take the blame for it, so the other countries don't get in trouble with civil wars and revolutions with their own people. Because China has no problem with that. They're a dictatorship. They got the people under control. So when it went to the China lab, the first story with China was that they denied it completely. They never accepted it, but they lied about it, of course. And the other one was, then the United States tried to ease it up a little bit. Some people were coming on the lab theory. They were saying, yeah, well, we're not saying they did it on purpose. It probably escaped by mistake. So China doesn't even want that. They don't even want them to think it was by mistake. China never acknowledged at all, even to today, that was in their lab at all. Because it wasn't supposed to get out. While this was all going on, you got your scientists lining up with the nature, with the wet market, with the nature. And they're trying to pull the attention away from the lab thing. But the lab thing keeps coming out. And there's even now, just a couple of days ago, because the lab thing's getting more and more. And then when they're pointing the finger at China finally comes out and says, okay, if you're going to say it came from us, I'm going to blame the United States, because we know it came from Dietrich in the United States. So now they're saying, you guys are in on it. You guys are the ones that released it. That's what's going on now. That was never supposed to happen. They're supposed to only believe it came from nature. But that story's not sticking. A lot of people are beginning to believe it really did come from a lab. Just recently, which was about a couple days ago, and the lab thing's getting really big, you'll see on like Fox News and other places, they're all saying, this definitely came from a lab. Now we got more information again. They just came out with the CDC or WHO report, another big report, just last week. Because the lab thing's getting big. And they went, now we got all our scientists on, all our experts, and they said, no, this was definitely from nature. It was from the wet market. It was from nature. It was from an animal. It wasn't from a lab. That was just a week ago. Why are they doing that? Because that's the story they want you to believe in. But the reason China took the blame for this willingly, that it started from us, is because if Europe said it, or if the United States said it, there'd be a revolution. There'd be a real threat of civil uprising. Because the United States does not yet have that type of governmental control over the people that China has. China has that kind of control over its own people, no problem. And I'm going to give you another proof of it, too. Other proof I said is because China, even when you're looking at these other cases, I expected China to come out and say, see, it did start with us. It came from somewhere else. They never said that. China still accepts the fact that it came from them, but they say it came from their wet market. They never said that. When there's proof that it was in the United States and it was in Italy in September, and China's not addressing that. They're taking the blame for it even still. But another proof of that is you would say, China doesn't want to kill its own citizens. Why would they do this? For first of all, this virus is not deadly. Everyone who has it can be cured unless you have a pre-existing condition. You wait for a really, really long time before you go to a doctor, like people who have the flu. If you have the flu and you have a really pre-existing condition, bad lungs, diabetes, or certain conditions, obese, you can get pneumonia and die from the flu. So there are a few cases where you could die from COVID if you wait too long and you don't get treated right away. But if you get treated right away, you go at the right time, it's 100% curable. They have therapeutics, 100% treatable. And China knows that. They know that. So they know they're not going to be killing their people. They're not going to be murdering their people. Anybody in China who has it, they're going to give them the drugs and the therapeutics, and they're going to heal. They're going to be okay. And the few people that die from it, it's like the people who would die from the flu, when they wait too long for treatment, and they have that, and they have weak lungs to start with, and now the treatment doesn't work. Which is the same thing that happens with the flu. You can even get a common cold that can turn into a flu that can go into the lungs. Now I'm going to prove it to you by the stats. And again, and see, that's the first China doesn't want their people ever know they released it on themselves. And China would never release it upon their own people. They don't want to kill their own people that way. And they know this is the perfect virus for a host, because it's a non-deadly thing. But make it deadly. Make the people believe it's a monster. Make it exaggerate its effects. That's what's going on. That's why I call it a conspiracy. The next one may be the one that's going to be really deadly, but not this one. And I'm going to give you the stats on what's going on in China. How many people actually died from it in China? This is as of yesterday. I got the running tally of this. China has a population of 1.4 billion people are in China. You know how many people died from it so far? 4,636 people died in China. That's 3 deaths per 1 million. And the United States, we have a population of 332 million people, and we have 568,513 deaths, which is 1,710 deaths per 1 million. Look at the contrast. How come these people aren't dying in China? It's not deadly. They have treatments. You're going to learn that in the next section I go on. They have abandoned the treatments. They don't want you to get better. They don't want to give you the treatment. They want to kill you. And even people who weren't made to die from it, they kill them, they murder them, and they make them die and say it was because of COVID. Now, people come out and say, oh, that's China. They lie. You can't trust their numbers. Oh, but you can trust the United States? You can trust this country? That's why I hate this country the most. She pretends to be honest, a lamb. She's more vicious than communism. Capitalism and democracies are evil, folks. Just as evil, if not more evil, than communism, because they're seductive, deceptive. They pretend that they're good. They pretend that the United States lies worse than the communists. And you're blaming them? You don't lie? You're seeing all these lies. And look at my conspiracy page of all the lies the United States tells to its own people. What kind of people hate their own people? Look, I told you again, the apostate Jews believe everybody who's not a racial Jew is a goy cattle, you're a soulless beast. Freemasons believe if you're not a Freemason, you're destined for destruction. That's the way these people think. That's the way the Antichrist thinks. Good Catholics love all men and want all men to be saved. And we'll kill people too if they're obstinate and get in our way and affect us trying to make people holy. But our goal is to want to make everybody holy and make them saved. Theirs is the opposite. But anyway, there's the numbers, okay, folks? How come so few people are dying in China? Because they're treating them properly. We're going to get into a whole section to show you how we are murdering people in the United States who have COVID, and some people don't even have COVID and are saying they have COVID, how they exaggerate this whole thing.